This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So we've talked about the Masters. By the way, Danny, did you think Will Zalatoris was doughy? You thought Tony Finau was.
I did not. I still think Tony Finau's doughy. I did not think Will Zalatoris was, but I will say the reason you don't judge a book by its cover, because I thought he was another word that started with a D. And the second word was a bag. But after he responded to Adam Sandler, he changed my mind.
What did you not like about it?
I don't know. He had this pompous look to him, this pompous. This is why you don't judge a book by its cover. He grew up miles away from Augusta. You know, he lived a privileged life, either golfing every day or playing tennis on daddy's dime. He rubbed me the wrong way.
Hold on a second. Augusta's like a very, you know, lower middle class city.
Yes, and golfing is a very lower middle class sport for him to be playing. You're not going to convince me otherwise. I'm being honest. I thought he was, you know. And then he responded to Adam Sandler, and he won me over a little bit.
All right.
I judged a book by its cover.
Anyway, Chuck Garfine.
Are we done with that golf talk at the top of the hour? Because that'll bring him in.
Yeah,
keep
big
going.
Time.
Yeah, that'll bring
you
him in.
You brought it up, Kaplan.
Danny had called Tony Finau doughy, and I'm like, well, that other guy weighs like 120.
Did Boyle text you during the break to have you ask me that?
No, he did not. Anyway, Chuck Garfine is our White Sox insider. And he also is one of the stars at NBC Sports Chicago. All right, Chuck, I have no problem that Liam Hendricks gave up a home run yesterday because he's not going to be perfect every day. My problem is all these guys, runners on base, and the offense isn't coming through. What's going on?
Yeah, it's a combination of a bunch of things. You know, first off, the bullpen, which lost 10 games last season. They went 17-10. They're 1-5 right now. This bullpen, which is supposed to be the strength of the team, it hasn't always been them that's causing this. I mean, the defense totally has made 9 errors, second most in Major League Baseball. It's led to 700 runs. So not all of it piled on the bullpen. But, you know, that home run by Carlos Santana off Hendricks, I didn't think there were going to be any home runs yesterday because the ball wasn't carrying. He just got all of it, and Hendricks has to nail that down. At the same time, like you said, they're not capitalizing on all these base runners that they've had. I mean, with runners on third, I just looked this up. With runners on third base this year, White Sox batters are 0-6. Runners on second and third, 2-12.
Mm-hmm.
So the offense has been good at times. I mean, they're not like one of the worst offenses in baseball, like your Cubs. But I just had to throw that in there, yeah. But if they're scoring position, they're batting 227. They need to be scoring more. And if they did this, it's very easy to say this, but if they were just scoring a few more runs, we're not talking about a one-run lead for Liam Hendricks in the ninth. He's got a two-run lead or a three-run lead, and they're winning more games.
Chuck, what did you think of Dylan Cease's performance?
So Dylan Cease's first 3 innings, 4 innings was great. And, you know, he had these Royals hitters totally fooled, many of them. You know, I would love to see him have easier bats where it's like 1, 2, 3 pitches. It seems like there's a lot of 4, 5, 6, 7 pitches per bat, and that drives up his pitch count, and that's what happened in the fifth inning where, you know, he was just – it looked like he was destined for 6th inning, maybe even into the 7th. But then he comes out, gets a strikeout, and then a single – I think it was a walk maybe in there. It didn't be another single, and they pulled him. And so that was 90 pitches, boom, and he's gone 4 2/3. And I like that they moved Kopech in there, and Kopech, who's been lights out, 0 ERA. He's been incredible. But, you know, I still think, you know, we have these expectations that Cease is going to be this finished product from the get-go here in 2021. He's just not there yet. Can he get to that place where he's going to be more of that reliable guy who can go 6 or 7 innings? Yeah, I think that can happen this year. He's just not there yet. Comparing this start to his first start, it was certainly better, and I'm expecting more of that going forward.
The White Sox lose to a Royals team that I don't think anyone is fearful they're going to be the World Series champion. What are you most concerned about? You mentioned the bullpen's struggles. Like, I'm most concerned about a guy like Yoan Moncada, who has got an OPS, I think Hoodie said, of 5-something. Now, I know it's 9 games in. But at what point do we start to get a little panicky over a guy who last year said it was the COVID? Okay. This year, he's off to another slow start.
Well, I mean, he homered on the home opener. You know, that was a big 2-run homer he hit. And it's 9 games. I'm not concerned about him at all. It's 9 games. So I'm watching every single player to see how they're doing. But, yeah, he started off in a slump. But, you know, maybe there's something, too, that he's batting fourth. He hasn't done that before. But then again, he was batting fourth in spring training. I'm not really concerned about that. You know, I think the thing for me is the defense and how they're and the timely hitting. The bullpen, I mean, you know, Bummer has struggled so many. Bummer comes into the game yesterday. He's facing the number 9 hitter in Nicky Lopez, and he walks him on 4 pitches. And Nicky Lopez, you don't want him on the base paths because he can steal, and that's what he did. And then Whit Merrifield drives him in, and boom, there's a run, a big run put on the board. Bummer's better than that, and he'll be the first one to say that. So,
Chuck, we got to put you on hold because you got a bad sell, man. Hang on a second. I don't know if he's on a Bluetooth or not, but it's just becoming garbled. But your bullpen, he's right. The walks are a killer, Hoodie. That is the one thing. Like, they hit a home run off Liam Hendricks. It happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when you walk guys and you don't come through offensively with men on base time and time again, that is a big issue.
You know, there's a lot of numbers when you see a box score. The number that stands out to me the most is 9. Sox had 9 walks and just could not get enough runs.
Right. They're grinding at bats.
Yeah, you're grinding at bats. And that's the thing that I like about the Sox. But it just didn't work out yesterday. Hopefully that's not something we see moving forward.
Correct. You there, Chuck?
Yeah. Is this any better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. One thing I'll add is this. So the Sox have lost 5 games. They've played 9. They've been in every game late in the game with a chance to win. I'm not saying they were going to go 9-0, but this just shows you that this team, either they're winning and they're going to go run away with it, with the game, or they are fighting and battling, and you know they're a tough team to take down. And so that is what is promising to me. I mean, there are 2 lines of thinking with this White Sox team, and it's up to you as a fan how you want to interpret it. Either you think they're underachieving, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, or this is just a team that is finding their way. This is what I believe. This is a team that is, you know, finding their way, learning how to play together, because there's a lot of different parts to this. There's a different manager, a different bench coach, pitching coach, that is, you know, pulling from the same rope, not always having their best games, but finding ways to win despite whether they're not having timely hitting, whether the bullpen's blowing things, or the defense isn't there. I look at this as, okay, 4-5 start, let's play a few more games, and then we'll have a better idea of where it's going. There's enough here that has me feeling optimistic about this team. It's just we're not looking at, you know, you look at the box scores, look at the standings, you're like, they're 4-5, this team's better than that, and I think they are better than that.
Chuck, what's the latest on Tim Anderson?
So it looks like Tim Anderson will be back. At the start, it looks like the earliest would be Thursday, which means it's the last game of this Indian series, or maybe the start of the road trip on Friday in Boston. And then Adam Engel, who we were hoping might be back by now that's looking like it'll be more at this. Rick Hine was alluding to the fact that he might not be back until the start of the next homestand, which would be, I think that's the 23rd of April. But getting TA back, that's going to help. And Engel, you know, they lost Billy Hamilton and they lost Adam Engel. I mean, they're shorthanded out there offensively. So those are 2 guys I'm watching that are going to help this team a lot when they get healthy and back on the field.
You had to have some goosebumps. Come on, Chuck. It looked like Lamar Hoyt out there on opening day, wasn't it? I mean, complete game, a win. When I see our guy out there, it looks like Hoyt from 83, Lance Lynn.
Oh, man. That was a combination of Britt Burns, Lamar Hoyt, a little bit of Burley, David Wells. You know, he's got the whole thing. A guy you'd see tailgating in the outside Guaranteed Rate Field. That was incredible. You know, I mean, he gets 11 strikeouts, no walks, complete game shutout, 5 hits, all singles, arguably the best start in his career, of his entire career, and the best home opener performance by a White Sox starter ever. So that was exciting. He hasn't given up a run yet. He hasn't given up an earned run yet. He's been everything you'd want. And think about this. Say they get to the playoffs. I sure hope they do. And if he's the number 3 starter, say it's a 5-game series. Either if they go down 0-2, okay, I got Lance Lynn on the mound. He'll stop this. Or they go up 2-0. Lance Lynn will very likely win this series. I mean, that's the kind of guy I like as my number 3 starter. And he's pitched like an ace, that's for sure.
All right, we're going to get you a new cell phone, okay?
Fine. That's fine. You paying for it?
Whatever it takes.
Okay, sorry about this. Technology.
We will see you at the office. Have a great day, Chuck.
Sounds fine to me.
See you, Cap.
Yeah, you're a funny guy.
What?
Listen, he was telling us about the White Sox. I thought it was fine. You know, he was telling about Tim Anderson, what's going on with Tim. And then I was talking about what's going on with Lance Lynn. I thought it was fine.
Those Sports Illustrated phones they give out with a subscription?
Yeah.
Oh, they don't even make that magazine anymore.
Yeah, funny guy. Shaped
like a football.
Anyway, hole-in-one or 7-10 split?
What?
Hole-in-one.
White Sox.
Or 7-10 split?
Cleveland.
Which is tougher?
Take that.
Be right back.
Hi, Matt.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
The dreaded 7-10 split. You know, Roy Munson has 2 chances to win this tournament now, slim and none. And Slim may have just left town.
Oh, true. It's okay. You know, in bowling, there are 1,022 spare leaves. And this, the 7-10, is by far the most difficult.
Virtually impossible to convert.
Such a great movie. Such a great movie. Kingpin. We had real-life Kingpin yesterday. Like, Brett and I bowl in a league. I love bowling. 7-10, I've never gotten it. Brett once slid it over, but it was barely clipped it, and it rolled over and rolled next to the other pin. Mm-hmm. To get it, I've never seen it picked up. Have you?
I have seen that. Yes, I've seen that at bowling. Of course, those that were in a tournament. Yeah, those that are very good at it, I have seen it in person several times. Yes, I have not done that, no.
Yeah.
That's very difficult. But there's a reason why we're bringing this up.
Mm-hmm. This is, go ahead.
I was just saying, it was on Fox Sports 1. And by the way, if you're not watching bowling, I can understand why. Usually bowling is right there against the NFL every Sunday. If you're looking for bowling, it's Sunday at noon.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck bowling, right? They might as well just wave a white flag on FS1 because no one's watching that on a regular basis. But something very rare happened on television regarding bowling yesterday.
Yes.
Right through the face, leaving the 7-10. The 7-10 only been made on television 3 times in the history of professional bowling on TV. Come on, kid, do it.
He did it! He got the 7-10, Randy!
He did it!
Woo-hoo-hoo! My goodness, the ginger assassin just dropped the 7-10! You bet, kid! You bet! Oh, man! Give me some oxygen and water to spare the game. Brought to you by Guaranteed Rate. If you believe it, you can do it. Guaranteed Rate. Believe you will. I believe the Ginger Assassin can drop the 7-10. Oh, man.
It actually came off of the bowling ball.
Insane. Into the 7.
How about that?
I would say that's a pretty good sponsor for that shot.
Guaranteed Rate.
I think it's a good one.
So, but the question is, though, all right, Danny, don't leave yet.
No, you know, I could not believe JR showed me this morning. Yeah. He was all excited about it. And I'm like, seriously, bowling? I could not believe that that was the first time that had been televised in 30 years.
That blew my mind.
You think a 7-10 split? I mean, I'm not a bowler like Cap, but every time I bowl, there's a 7-10 split. It's so hard to believe that somebody hasn't conquered the 7-10 split on TV in 30 years.
It's hard, man.
So my thought was, okay, when I saw this story, did not watch Bowling Live. No, I missed that. But I'm glad we were able to read the story and see the clip, right? My first thought is, and this is our generation, right? All four of us. Man, we watch bowling on a Saturday afternoon, right? There's baseball and there's bowling on ABC.
Right. The Chris Schenkel.
With the Pro Bowlers Tour, mm-hmm. right? So we've seen this, right? But more times than not that I can remember watching bowling as a kid, as a young adult, usually it's just strikes, man. Or maybe you're just picking up the spare, but usually not the 7-10 split or not picking up. Now, I never thought in my wildest dreams, JR, that no one's picked up the 7-10 split in 30 years on TV.
Well, you're onto something there because they don't leave 7-10 splits because they're professionals and the way you hit the pocket, yeah. right? So if you're hitting it straight on, you can, you know, you roll it like between your legs, right? You hit the head pin straight on, you'll get that 7-10 split. So it's least likely to happen with a pro bowler when they're hitting the pocket every time.
Now, for someone that, and again, cast more than a bowler, I have bowled many times at Olympia Lanes in Hammond. With my college buddies, and we're just messing around. You know, it's 10 o'clock. They close at 1 or 2. Like, yeah, just messing around. I've seen more, Cap, of the 7-10 split than I have a hole-in-one in person.
I've only seen one hole-in-one in person. No, two.
You hit one, right?
I've never had one. I have never had one. I've come close. I have never had one.
What's more likely, the 7-10 split or a hole-in-one? I would say the 7. I've seen that more often in person from those that are they're professionals, right? Those that have come in there for those, you know, for those leagues at Olympia Lanes or a couple other places on the South Side. I've seen that before, but I've not seen a hole in one.
I would say that first of all, I think that the hole in one is way more luck, way more luck. Like there's a skill level. Like my friend Sean Rash lives in the area. He's a pro bowler. He won the ESPY as Bowler of the Year. His skill level is literally insane to watch. He can put the ball wherever he wants it. And he can head it to the corner. Now, he might not always pick up the 7 pin on the other end, but he'll clip the 7, or the 10, I mean, and get it close every time.
But that's tough, too. That's skill, too.
It is.
See, there's a certain way you I can't spin the ball. Believe me, I've been in that situation many times. One pin on one side, one pin on the other, and I'm just trying to get the carom, and it's just not happening.
Correct.
I'll knock one down. There's no way I'm getting the carom and the spin to be able to get that one pin to knock out the other. I can't do that.
Now, a 300 game versus a hole-in-one, that might be a better discussion.
But isn't a hole-in-one all luck? Right, like you can aim for the cup, right? But you're not going to get it in with skill. That takes a couple lucky bounces and a lucky roll.
Right.
To bowl a 300, pure skill. You have to be on your game.
Correct.
To hit a 7-10 split, also skill. Like we're comparing something that takes skill to something that's just pure luck.
Like my sports bucket list, I want one hole in one. My father-in-law's got like three. He got one a year ago. He's almost 80.
Well, Danny, it is also lucky to try to get – you got one pin on one side, one on the other, the 7-10. It is also lucky to be able to say, okay, if I can just make that ball spin into one of those pins to make one pin – almost like billiards, right? To get that perfect billiard shot, the perfect pool shot, right? It's not easy to do. That's also skill and luck combined.
Yes, but I think less luck than a hole-in-one. Like, if you're throwing the 7-10 split, at least like Cap's talking about, you know how to spin the ball. You know where to aim. You know what part of the pin you need to hit. When you're shooting, when you're playing golf, if you get a hole-in-one, it's literally you dropped it somewhere on the green. It takes a nice bounce and a perfect roll-in.
It's also got to be at the right bowling alley, too. Are the backgrounds of bowling alleys all set up the same? You know that bounce you have to get off the side of the...
They're all the same.
They're all set up exactly yep. the same? Okay.
And usually, if you're doing it right, oiled perfectly on the lane.
Correct. Now, the pros use a different oil pattern mm-hmm. than we use when we go bowling, even in our league.
Yeah.
The harder, like the pros, there was a pro-am around here that Brett and I got invited to, so we went. Let me tell you something. Oh, my God. It's like playing the Masters from their back tees and you and I going and playing at Deerfield Golf Club.
Right.
It's like totally different world. you put the ball in the wrong spot with their oil, goodbye. You got no chance. It's not just a dry board. And you just no.
No. There's a certain type of lacquer, type of oil that they put
and
on there.
And a pattern.
Yes.
Yeah.
That you, but I think, Cap, I've seen that 7-10 split a lot more often, clearly, than the hole-in-one.
Phil on Twitter says, guys, picking up a 7-10 is all luck. A hole-in-one's way more likely than picking up a 7-10. I've bowled for 60 years and shot a 300.
Wow.
I don't think I agree with that.
So if you get a hole-in-one, you have to buy the next round, right, at the 19th hole. That's the rule, right?
That is correct.
What
for the whole bar, for everyone in there.
Right. So what happens when you pick up a 7-10?
I don't know.
Beers.
I know.
Beers.
If you get a 300 game, if it's a sanctioned league, they send you a ring.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah, the restaurant quality, man. Big time.
Where'd you get that from?
You.
Oh, as long as you credit me, that's all.
That's always.
The best part is that guy that hit the 7-10 split, his name is Anthony Neuer. They call him the Ginger Giant or whatever they
ginger
call him.
Assassin.
Ginger Assassin, yeah.
He's got a ginger mullet.
It's glorious,
He's
too.
18 years old.
He might be my new favorite athlete.
It is glorious. And so, and just to make sure we put a pin in this, Cap, bowling's been on consistently all our lives.
Correct.
Now, you can't see it all the time. You know, you got to really search for it now. But the idea that we have not seen a 7-10 split in 30 years on television.
That's on every week.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. It's crazy.
All right, to the phone lines.
It's Ginger Assassin. Jimmy's in Naperville. Hey, Jimmy, what's up, Cookie?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jimmy.
I was just giving a heads up. From what I know, to hit the 7-10 split, you need the lightest ball possible.
Yeah, you.
So it ricochets. Heavy balls are not going to do it.
Yeah, I don't know about that part of it, and appreciate your call, James. Have a good week. I know that when you have a 10-pin, you take your second ball, like a plastic ball, not a composite that you can spin. You want a plastic ball that you can throw straight at it and pick it up. So,
how do you practice a 7-10 split? So, like, you could go to a golf course and practice putting or practice mm-hmm. chipping or mm-hmm. practice driving.
Yep.
You can't go to a bowling alley and just have them set up the 7-10.
Sure, you can.
You can?
Absolutely.
Have you done that?
I have not done the 7-10. I had them set up the 10-pin because I struggle with that. I was at the bowling alley with Brett. We were pre-bowling for our league because I had a basketball game I was traveling to on the weekend, and I hit the first 8 strikes. I got 8 in a row. You need 12 for a 300, and I'm like, oh, God. And number 9 frame, it's right in the pocket. Here we go. I leave the 10 pin. I miss it.
All right.
10th frame, leave the 10 pin again, miss it. 246.
Do you believe in the 5-pin curse?
Do you mean the pin right in the middle?
Yes.
What is the 5-pin curse?
If you just leave the 5-pin standing, supposedly it's 5 years of bad sex. That is the 5-pin curse.
What?
You never heard that?
No, I've not.
Oh, my God. I'm not even a bowler, and I've heard of the 5-pin curse.
No, I've never heard of that because I'm always knocking down the 5th pin.
Of course you are. You're Jonathan Hood.
Well, yeah. Cap has been bowling his whole life, so.
No
shit. We should ask Mindy if she believes in the 5-pin curse.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's worked for me.
You have a problem with the 5-pin?
No problem.
There's a pill for that, you know.
Let me call Black. Maybe I can become the Dave in his commercial.
I think you are.
We think you probably already are.
Hey, man, keeps me happy.
What are the odds he picked the name Dave?
312. That's what Black would do. 312-332-3776. Don't forget, Crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko at 10. The return of Sylvie at 2.
Oh, my 5-pin.
Indians at White Sox at
6:30. Oh, it's so big. Wow. That's a big pin. At least 5.
Steven Lombard, we'll get to him as well. We get shot, no shot. Coming up next.
Come on, take it.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
shot, no shot is brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook now open. Download the PointsBet app and then stop by Hawthorne Racecourse and register your account. And we'll have a contest on Friday for you to win wagers and free plays at the track and at PointsBet.
That's why I say shot, no shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say
Daniel Zetterman.
Gentlemen, my favorite baseball team, which hurts me to say, cannot score runs. They're struggling at the plate, and I'm talking about the Chicago Cubs. Oh. We all assume at this rate they will be sellers at the deadline. However, I ask you guys, shot or no shot, if they keep up this form at the plate, they won't be able to sell for anything meaningful at the deadline.
That is a no shot. Because you can always find a sucker. Got to find one. You don't need a lot of them. Just find a sucker. Find someone.
No, I couldn't disagree with you more vehemently. If they keep struggling like this, shot. Who's overpaying for one of our guys?
Who wouldn't want Chris Bryant on the team? Now, maybe not buy it. Maybe it's not bias, but maybe it's Bryant. You never know, Cap, in negotiations, as you well know. You never close the door on it. Now, from our end, because we're close to it, none of these bums can hit on a regular basis. Everybody in there struggles. But if you could just find one fish, man, now you're cooking with gas. Now you got some minor league talent coming in.
As they said in the movie Rounders, if you don't know who the fish is at the table, you're the fish. We kept buying into this crew. And again, it's 9 games in. They're 4-5. They look awful. But it's not 9 games in. And I keep arguing with Gordon Whitmire over at TV. It's not 9 games, Gordon. He keeps going, Cap, it's a week. It's 9 games. It's 8. No.
No,
I understand. 2018, 19, 20, no. 21.
I know the numbers, Cap. I've seen the numbers and I've seen these games. This sad sack that can't hit the baseball. But there's some GM that'll say, I can fix him. My manager can fix them.
But
my
you're only getting 2 months, 3 months of control.
Sure.
You're not overpaying for that.
It all depends on which Cub, though. Which Cub are you talking about? Is it Baez? Is it Bryant? Which Cub?
If it continues Contreras? The way it is now, there's not one guy I'd overpay for if I was another GM.
You know teams have done that. That's not new. That's what I said. The one fish. You never rule it out of hand. Right. From our standpoint, no. Clearly.
Right.
But you got to find a sucker. It's like, you know what? He's just not something personal is going on. Or like, yeah, you know, he'd really work well for you with a little wink and a nod.
I hope you're right. And I hope that it turns around starting tonight.
Find a dummy. It's always one.
I hope you're right. Danny.
How about that, Danny?
Quickly on what you guys were talking about. It's early and all that stuff. Patrick Mooney of The Athletic wrote a great piece. I'm just going to read you a little piece of it. He says it's early. It's a long season. But the Cubs can't slash payroll, trade away Yu Darvish, tinker with a broken offense for years, and then expect everyone to relax when the team starts slow. That he nailed it on the head right there.
I agree.
There is no relax in Chicago. There is no relax with our Chicago sports teams. Absolutely not. If there is someone that feels, Cap, oh, well, it's early, we could just... It's just not, because it's a different feel in this city. It's New York, it's Philly, it's Boston, Los Angeles when it comes to the Lakers. Chicago the same way. I mean, there's a sense of urgency. We want our teams to win.
Correct.
That's why there's no relax. I don't care if it's one game or 100. You want your team to get off to a good start and show signs that you're going to be in the postseason. That's what it feels like to be a sports fan in this city. It should. And if not, then you're maybe not a great fan.
Agreed with you. If you told me they were coming off winning the World Series or getting to the NLCS and they lost the first two games of the season, yeah, it's early. Relax. They've struggled for 4 years offensively. Danny.
Gentlemen, in the Braves-Phillies game last night, there was an embarrassing review of a controversial call at the plate against the Phillies. The Phillies' Alec Bohm slid home with the eventual winning run in the ninth inning, although it appeared he never touched home plate. The Braves challenged. After a long review, it was upheld. So I asked you guys, shot or no shot? That is the worst missed call in sports history.
No, the Don Denkinger one at first base in the World Series when there was no replay. The one that cost, who was the pitcher who missed the no-hitter. when they screwed up the call and there was no replay at that point.
Andy Hawkins?
No. Galarraga?
Armando Galarraga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the one. And the umpire even came out and said, I cost you a no-hitter. That's completely on me. Those are more egregious. This is just one game. But when you have replay, and Hoodie and I watched it, how do you not get that call right?
How about the 2019 NFC Championship game with the Saints?
That's another
bad
one.
That was a horrible missed call, and that had higher consequences than just a regular season baseball game.
Correct.
Also a bad call. You're right about that. No, what we saw last night is not the worst, believe me. With or without replay, we've seen worse.
Agreed.
I mean, but here's the thing that's bothersome, Danny, is that what Jesse said earlier to us, and that is that there's like a either a former umpire or umpire, a current umpire that's up there in New York. That's a problem.
Yeah.
I don't want those guys up there.
Like when they're looking
I don't want a current umpire there.
And didn't they say after it that the ruling was that they didn't have conclusive evidence that he didn't touch home plate, so they're going to stick with the call on the field?
You really? See, thank goodness for some of these websites, these betting websites, because now you're messing with people's money when you start doing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you think that something's going on. It feels unsavory.
Correct.
It's clear. It's right there. It's clear for everybody.
Are you telling me that technology can't put a sensor into home plate that if it's touched, that sensor records it?
I agree with that. Sure you can, but that ain't baseball.
Everyone else wants the strike zone to be automated. What about that?
I agree. Tennis has done it on the lines.
Correct. Exactly correct. So, great example.
So why can't baseball, Danny?
Dan.
Gentlemen, former baseball star and current ESPN analyst Alex Rodriguez has signed a letter of intent Saturday to buy the Timberwolves. The agreement also includes the WNBA's Minnesota Lynx. He's going to pay $1.5 billion. I ask you guys, there have been a lot of cheaters in baseball, but shot or no shot, A-Rod is the most successful cheater in the history of sports.
That would be a shot. That's a shot. Think about what he was as a ball player. Cheating the game, lying to Mike Francesa right to his face, lying to Peter Gammons,
Katie Couric,
lying, blatantly lying, and parlays that into working not only at ESPN but also at Fox, right? It is in a relationship with J-Lo in which they can look at each other. It's like we're looking at the mirror, right? Amazing how he's able to turn all of that around into positives for him.
Yeah, I can't think of another cheater that would be as
well. I was
successful.
Thinking like Barry Bonds, right? He's a notorious cheater. That what? Guy's bank account is full. Barry Bonds is really rich from cheating. Now, he hasn't had the post-baseball success, but he made off pretty well cheating. Sammy Sosa, if you want to think he's a cheater.
Bonds cheated?
Yes.
Got a hell of a bank account.
Can you pull that up?
How about Lance Armstrong?
I got a restaurant quality article.
You got the report there? What do you have there? That Bonds cheat? Do you have that?
I'll have to pull one up for
okay.
you.
Okay, just pull that report up that he cheated,
Danny.
And as Danny said, notorious cheater. Notorious, he says.
Yes, your hat size doesn't go up 1.5 sizes when you're not taking human growth hormone.
Mine did.
No shot.
Mine did. Yeah. The noggin got bigger when I got older. That's what happens. But I think the other story for that, Dan, is this. So all of that you mentioned, right? Notorious cheater, all that stuff. And so how many years in the past did we take the phone call of how come Michael Jordan can't get a piece of the Bulls? Right? How come Walter Payton can't get a piece of the Bears? It's commonplace now in sports. LeBron's one of them. LeBron's got a piece of the Red Sox. Right?
Well, yeah, he bought into the company that owns the Red Sox. Correct.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
A-Rod now. It's become commonplace now that some of these current athletes want to be, or former athletes want to be able to get a piece of teams. It's interesting.
Yep. Danny.
Gentlemen, Crane's Chicago Business reported on Friday that Lou Malnati's is for sale. Shot or no shot, Cap's offer is currently the leading bid.
I have no idea. No shot. I'm not involved, and I know nothing about it. I didn't even talk to my wife about it.
He can't get away from it quick enough. No shot. No, no. No shot. No, no.
I know nothing.
Get me out.
No.
She was in class all weekend for a seminar. I know nothing about it.
Hey, man.
You want me to tell you?
I got nothing. Hey, my hands are clean. Hey, I mean, I don't know anything. I know nothing. I see nothing.
I know nothing.
Thank you. Thank you, Colonel Klink.
Yeah.
You got nothing.
I have nothing.
How about that, Danny? I mean, just exhaustive in any comment, any topic you want to talk about. Lou Malnati's sale? Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
I know nothing.
I didn't read anything.
I don't talk business with my wife.
$700 million.
Yeah.
Does that mean that the Cap and the Mindy will be headed to an early retirement sale goes through?
Oh my God.
Stock options for Cappy. Yeah.
No, I think
it's not a public company. There's no stock options. She's just an employee.
You know what I'm thinking? Zed, it's all over for Cap. It's all over. It's going to be a sale. She's going to take her money.
I wish.
And then, then it's going to be Cap and that.
Oh my God. You know how unfortunate that would be for us if he was single?
Oh God. Well, definitely a big, big beard like JR's. I don't have to shave anymore.
Take that. All right, we remember the great DMX. Actually, Hoodie will, because I don't know much about him. Next.
Good, get out.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
So, Earl Simmons OD'd and passed away last week. Earl Simmons, better known as DMX, began rapping in the early 90s, and he's gone at a very young age. He died. He was 51?
50.
50. Brutal.
Yeah, it's difficult, especially for those that I remember him in high school and college. It's just kind of the music that was on. You walk into a party, or definitely if you're working out, that's the song, the music that you wanted because it was always uplifting. Thinking about him in the late 90s, Party Up, Where the Hood At, that was my favorite because it got my name in it. So X gonna give it to you. The thing that was so interesting about DMX is because not only just a talented rapper, but just the way he'd go about it, his voice was always grovelly. It sounded like a dog. If a dog would rap, it would sound like DMX. And so just people really loved him because he was in and out of hospitals or always had some issues. But people knew that he always had talent. You think about someone, Cap, that's in your life or around your life, you say, man, you've got so much talent, man. Just keep your nose clean. Stay out of the issues. You know, and DMX for me was always that person, Danny, is that, man, if he just kept his life on a straight and narrow, that, I mean, he'd probably be living today, but he lived a hard life. But he left behind a legacy of music that we'll always remember.
I completely forgot how many great songs he had. On Saturday, I went for a run, and I put on It's Dark and Hell is Hot.
Yeah.
That album is so good. I mean, he has one of the most distinct voices in rap. He's really going to be missed. It's a shame what happened to him like these last 10 or 15 years where he got on at hard times and kind of had some bad luck. But his music, I bet you, is going to soar once again. Unfortunately, it's going to be in the afterlife where he's going to reap those benefits.
Yeah, it's always been part of my life listening to DMX. And, you know, Cap, on Instagram, they have this thing called Versus. It's like an older act against an older act, and you will see exactly who wins. It's like, They played some of the best music from this artist, and they played some of the best music, and they're all together, and they kind of go back and forth to talk about their lives. DMX was just in one just recently on Versus on Instagram. It was just great to be able to look back at his life and the stuff that he's done. I remember at least two concerts I was at, Allstate Arena and maybe in Milwaukee, somewhere in Wisconsin, but I really enjoyed what he did. So we knew over the last week that he was not in good shape, that he probably wouldn't make it, and it was official just recently. So all the best to him and his family.
Gabrielle Union did an interview because she and he were in a show together, in a movie together, and they bonded over his favorite television show. Danny, you know what his favorite television show was?
I read the same story as you, so I do.
Golden Girls.
Yeah.
he said, this blank is funny. And so she said, we would literally sit and either have a Heineken, sometimes he'd pour a little Crown, and we would watch Golden Girls, and he would laugh hysterically.
Who knew, right?
Yeah.
Of all shows, right? Thank you for being a friend.
Crazy.
Travel all the world. Back again. Like, could you imagine? DMX loving Blanche. A big fan of a Blanche Devereaux.
Right.
Answer this question honestly, Cap.
Maude.
Yeah.
Have you heard of DMX until he passed away?
I'd heard of him. I knew none of his music. Nothing. Like, couldn't have told you one song, one album, nothing. I knew that he was a huge name. That's all I knew. So.
He's one of the Rough Riders, man. And just, man, he's just so talented. I know Danny showed us a video of him on Dr. Phil and how just off the dome, off the top, to be able to do that. Just, you know, Dr. Phil wanted to go line by line, like, let's read what you have here. And then DM's like, I'm just going. I'm just doing it. He was so special.
That was pretty amazing.
He's like so many of these musicians are just special, right?
Yep.
Just like, you know that they're special and you just wish they could live a long time. His legacy will always be there, though. And as Danny mentioned, in death now, his family, I think it was, he had 15 kids.
A lot of kids.
I think it's 14 or 15
He's
kids.
He's challenging Antonio Cromartie for most kids in the game.
And yeah. Pat Williams.
Yonkers, New York's own. Man, rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. So DMX gone at the age of 50 after having a heart attack after overdosing on drugs. So very, very sad. 312-332-3776. That's our number here if you ever want to call our show. I wanted to get one other thing in. There was a story in the Sun-Times that there's a bakery on the south side you've been to.
Many times.
Called Brown Sugar Bakery.
Yep.
And the owner, a lady named Stephanie Hart, said last week at 3:01, the Secret Service showed up and said, hey, we're here to do a security sweep. The vice president's going to be here in 10 minutes. Just unannounced. Boom. They sweep the store. The owner wasn't even there. She said by the time they got a hold of her, she goes, I wasn't there. I didn't even have time to get there. She got there at 3:10. She was gone at 3:21. Her favorite cake is German chocolate cake. So she bought a slice to eat on the plane, and they gave her two trays of cupcakes for everyone on Air Force Two. The sales now at that place have gone up 88% online, 21% in-store. I want to go to that place with you. That looks like an amazing bakery.
Oh, yeah.
Brown Sugar Bakery on the south side. I want to go there.
That's the perk of being a vice president, when you can be able to know where the spots are.
Yeah.
There she is pulling up on 75th, like, I know a good spot here. And she just pulls up.
Bam!
On 75th. Whoa! It's like, hey, yo, right here.
That's
it. It's like, let me just get in, just get what I like, and then I'll just be out just like any other customer.
On the way to Midway, let me just, real quick. I want to go to that place with you. So one day after the show,
sure,
we're going to get coffee, and we're going to go get something at Brown Sugar Bakery. I want to try that place. Don't forget, 2 p.m., the return of Sylvie, Mark Silverman, who's been out of the studio for over a year because of his cancer diagnosis. He's clean, he is healthy, and he will be here with his special brand of humor and sports with Waddle. Looking forward to that. We have Indians, White Sox at 6:30. Be right back for Crosstalk in 2 minutes.